All right, wish to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask that you'd help us to be faithful to you, Father, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom. Lord, we pray for those who do not wish to follow, Father, and those that would be against us, Father. We just pray that you'd help us to be faithful, Lord, and be like our Lord, Father, in those areas. Again, we just ask that you'd give us wisdom. In Jesus' name. Bring greetings to you in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 31. Jesus had just finished talking to Peter and asking who he said he was. And Peter had declared that he was the Christ. He had acknowledged that Christ had come in the flesh. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you for understanding and knowing that Christ came in the flesh." In verse 31, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." Jesus began to explain to Peter after Peter had recognized who he was. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus acknowledged that this comes from the Spirit of God, that you would recognize this, because I'm going to be rejected by the elders, by the chief priest, by the scribes, by all the religious authority, any religious authority. No one is going to recognize me. But you, by the Holy Spirit, have done that. The Bible says that he was despised and rejected among men. That's who Jesus is. And then it said, "And be killed, and 3 days rise again." And he was stating the matter plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." And he summons the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." I want to focus on these words that Jesus spoke here, that he just delivered to the crowd with his disciples. And he said, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. And if anyone wants to save his life, He must lose it. This is the very foundation of following Jesus. This is what Jesus said that it required to follow Jesus. You cannot have your life and Christ's life. It is absolutely impossible to have your life and Christ's life. The two will not dwell together. When Jesus was on the cross, He didn't take a few breaths and then was resurrected, a few hard breaths. He didn't feel the pain. He didn't feel the suffering. And then all of a sudden, He just was given life. He died. He died before He could be resurrected. Dead. They stuck the spear up in His side and the blood and water gushed out because He was dead. And only then could He be resurrected. Wasn't going to happen before that. It didn't happen just because they nailed Him to the cross. It didn't happen just because He said, "Father, forgive them." He died before He could rise again. Jesus said, if you want to save your life, there is only one way to do it. You have to lose your life. This is where Christianity just completely goes awry. Religion. It just completely misses the whole boat. What's the first thing that they want you to do when you go to church? They want you to come and get saved. They don't tell you to come and die and lose your life. They tell you, come and save your life and you'll find it. Exactly opposite of what Jesus taught us to do. Come and lose your life. The fact is, most people that get saved are simply find themselves in a bad way. They just find themselves in trouble. The world is crashing in on them. Everything falls to nothing. Their whole world is falling apart and they don't have anything to do but to cry out to God. And they do. And He fixes it. Almost every time, He just fixes it. And then they're saved because He fixed their life. They live their life thinking they're saved because their life is now fixed. But is that what Jesus is talking about? We see the examples in the Old Testament. The children of Israel. How many times do we see them walking and following the Lord and then falling away? Chasing after idols. Just doing all kinds of things in the Bible. And then they get in trouble. And what do? They cry out to God. And God is merciful. And God is good. And He heals them. And He sets them free. He sends a deliverer. He does a miracle. He does all kinds of things and brings them back and takes them back in to where they can have another chance. He gives them their life back. And what do they do with it? Over and over and over again, they just take their life all patched up and go live for themselves again. And get more entangled and get tied up in this and tied up in that. And their whole life soon becomes ensnared again. Soon they have people over them again. Rulers over them again. And things get hard and things get tough. What do? They cry out to God again. And God in His mercy sets them free. God is good. But as good as God is, He can't save your life. The life that He has given you He can't save that. He didn't put you here to patch you up so you could have a wonderful time on this world. He didn't put you here so that you could go do your own thing. He didn't put you here so you could just be what you wanted to be. Seek after all your goals. Seek after all your ambitions. Be who you want to be. Be successful in this world. That's not what He came here for. He came here just like He came for Himself, to die. He came here to die. He didn't come to see what He could get out of this life. He didn't come to see how good He could make it for Himself. He came to die. And that's what Peter rebuked Him for. No, Lord, it can't be. Be rejected by everyone and then die? It can't be. What was Jesus' rebuke to that? What was Jesus' answer to that? Get away from me, Satan. Get away from me, Satan. It's the hardest blow you could give to someone to look at and tell them they're Satan whenever they're trying to tell you something. He thought it was for good. He had all the right intentions, all the right motives. It can't be, Lord, that you would die. And Jesus looked at him and called him the devil. Because that was the devil's plan. Have your life. Use God all you can. Use Him to fix up your life the best way that you can in this world. That's Satan's message. Get Jesus. Get a little bit of Jesus smeared on your life and fix your life really, really nice. Go ahead, have everything you want. Chase after the world. Do whatever you want. Pursue your ambitions. Pursue your business. Pursue everything in this world. Make it the best. And just put a little Jesus on the edge of it. Just have Jesus help you do it. It's not what He came for. He came to die. To deny Himself. Take up His cross and follow. That's what He asked. Anyone, we like whosoever will come unto me. We love that. We like anybody. But then He says, if anybody, same word, same thing, anybody who is going to follow me, take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. And if you're seeking to save your life, and if you want to keep your life and just have Him make it nice, you'll lose it. You'll lose it. Jesus came so that we would lose our life, that we might actually find it. You know, we don't like to lose things. You know, it's when you lose something, it's pretty disgusting sometimes. You're looking for something, you lost it, you can't find it, and so you look all over, you get kind of frustrated, you've lost something. It's not fun to lose something. It is not fun to lose something. How many of you lost something that you really liked? Were you happy about it? No, you were miserable. You lost it. Jesus said you've got to lose your life. Whenever Jesus was on the cross Himself, whenever they crucified someone on a cross, they nailed their hands to the cross and they nailed their feet with a little bit of their knees bent. And just this weight, you couldn't breathe. The people that died on the cross died because they suffocated. They didn't bleed to death. They suffocated. They'd be there as long as they could, and then they'd push up against those nails with their feet, take a breath, and then go back down again. That's why they broke their legs, so they'd die quicker, because they'd suffocate. But a man hanging on a cross, you'd think, why don't we just get it over with? I'll just stay. But they just kept as long as they could, pushing up, waiting for that one little breath of life. That's how much we love life. That's what we think of our lives. But Jesus said, you've got to lose it. That's why it's so hard. That's why it's so straight and narrow. It's losing our life. Actually, look at all your plans. Look at all your dreams. Look at all you have for your life and how you want it all to work out. Can you say, Lord, here it is. Here it is. Can you say, I give up? That's what repentance is. That's what truly repenting is losing your life, laying down your will, laying down your life, your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, everything, and saying, here it is, Lord. I want your life. Thy will be done. One of the boys gave the verse in John chapter 5, verse 30. A couple of them gave it. I came to do thy will, O Lord. So many times, what we want gets in the way. We just got it all covered up in religion. We've got it all covered up in doing what's right. And just so it works well and adds to our life, man, this is great. Serving two masters. Wonderful. We can do it. The Bible says you can't. Repentance is a complete surrender. You know, they're celebrating Memorial Day. And there's a lot of talk about how they won the World War and defeated Japan. They dropped nuclear bombs on their cities. You know, if you're going to fight a war, if you're going to fight a war, you can't do it piddling around. If you're going to fight a war, you got to fight until the enemy says, I give up, complete surrender, whatever you want, I'll do it. That's what Japan did after they dropped nuclear bombs on them. There were so many people killed and so much destroyed and so much burnt and just destruction everywhere that the people said, we give up. What do you want us to do? Our God will be your God. I'll do whatever you want to do. That's a surrender. It's not just quit fighting me and then I'll go do my own thing. That's not a surrender. That's a false peace. Two people that just quit fighting and then everybody just goes and does their own thing. That's not what surrender is. A surrender is, here I am. Here I am. Whatever you want for my life. It's not mine anymore. I'm dead. That's Christianity. We try to recover some revival movement. We try to do all of this. We try to immolate laws. We try to immolate rules. We try to do all the right things and look right. And it has the appearance of being biblical. But to be a Christian takes death. Not being a good faker. Not being a good rule follower. It takes death. Death to me. It takes God, here it is. We all want to cry out to God when we're in trouble. We realize we're lost. We realize we need help. We all want God then. But whenever everything's going right, when everything's the way it's supposed to be, and you can say, take it all, Lord. Here's my life. Here's my life. That's what a follower of Jesus is. This is the initiation. We're too busy. We've got all our things going on. We've got everything going. We've got everything going for us. Everything rolling pretty smooth. Boy, isn't God good. It's so easy to praise God when everything's great. Got the whole world by the tail and going to heaven besides. It's what all the gospel music that they sell on the radio is all about. Being a Christian on my terms. On my terms. I'll follow you, Lord. Just fix it this way. I'll follow you, Lord. Do this for me. I'll follow you, Lord. Make my life just wonderful. Christianity on my terms. Who's the God here? Me. God's just my little puppet, my little genie, my little magician that just performs for me when I want him to. Self. That's what self is. Lord, do it my way. Do it my way. The prayers in the Bible are not prayers, Lord, fix things for me. The prayers are not my will, but thine be done. A surrender of my life to your life. You know, I've seen people that have been saved from a death. And somebody stepped in and intervened and saved their life. They were dead. I've heard stories of people who were dying. And someone stepped in and actually saved their life. I've heard of stories where the person that was saved in some cultures becomes a servant for the rest of their life to the one who saved them. Their life doesn't matter anymore. They leave everything and just become a servant to the one who saved them. Their old life is gone because they were dead anyway. They realized they were dead. They were going to die and someone stepped in. And now, I'm going to follow. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I'll be at your beck and call. That's what it takes. Following Jesus. My life's over. I was dead. And now I've been made alive. And the rest of my life is yours. Whatever you want for it. Whatever you want from me, I'll do it. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll stay. I'll just be right where I'm at. Serving you and living you. Living for you. Not for me. It's not me anymore. It's Him. And living for Him. We don't like the idea of waste. You know, there's people become pretty frugal being Christians. We don't like the idea of waste. But isn't that what he's asking us to do? To waste our lives on him? You know, look at Paul. He was a brilliant man. Look what he could have accomplished. There's no telling what he could have accomplished in the world. And he just wasted his opportunity at life. He wasted it. He wasted his opportunity for life. For this life. And just chose to follow and believe Jesus. We see people that are capable of doing something and they waste their life, usually chasing some foolishness. But they have an opportunity at life and they throw it away and waste it. And we just say, oh, what a pity. Why do they waste their lives like that? Many of them get caught up in drugs and alcohol and all kinds of things and they just waste their lives. Very talented people and they waste their lives. And we just think, oh, what a shame. We just add Jesus to our lives and then perform. Jesus is calling us to waste our lives in this world. To waste our lives in this world. And follow Him. Be His servant. Be despised and rejected. Be a nobody. Be hated. Whenever I say hated, we have the idea that everybody's just ready to throw rocks. That's not what hated is. That's hated that people that should love you that just can't even stand to be around you. It's a heartbreaking hatred. It's not a I want to destroy you hatred. It's just I can't even stand to be around you. The odor of death is on you. The Bible talks in Corinthians about the savor of life is life to those who have life, and the savor of death smells like death to people who are dead. That's why Paul, or Jesus here, whenever he was talking to Peter, no, don't die. It stinks. Death is bad. It's a waste. You got your whole life. You're just a young man. You could be the king. And you're talking about dying? Don't waste your life like that. And Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. I came to waste my life. I came to die. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 18. Let's begin in verse 16. Want to bring out the difference between death and religion. Because a lot of times we substitute dying with getting really, really religious. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Religious things. Things that are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Don't let anyone try to divert you or try to defraud you of the prize of being dead by delighting in self-abasement. You know, some people, they don't want to die, so they just punish themselves to where they'll feel like they're really suffering. They just bind strict rules upon themselves so they'll feel like they're suffering. So they'll stand out and make themselves look different to everybody else. Don't let them defraud you. That's a fraud. Don't let them deprive you or defraud you of the prize of being dead. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. When you're dead and God puts life in you, He brings it together. We don't have to try to form things. He brings it together. It has life because it's connected to the head, because He rose from the dead. And when we die, we're connected and He can give us that life. We don't have to create a church. We don't have to create a bunch of rules. It's formed together because it has life together. Verse 20, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, you've lost your life to follow Him. Why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Set up a little barrier around yourself so you won't go chasing after all those things. If you're dead to this world, if you're dead to yourself, you're a servant of Jesus and you want to please Him. So many people try to do this. Verse 22, which all refer to the things destined to perish with use. Not doing those things are not going to give you life. Avoiding all the evil in the world is not going to give you life. The only way to live is to die. Lose your life and you'll find it. Lose your life and you'll find it. Separate yourself from all the evil and all the wicked will never give you life. It's all going to perish with the using. Life comes in death. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgences. Strict religion, you can be sure it has the appearance of wisdom. It has the appearance of self-denial. It has the appearance of discipline. It has the appearance, but it's self-made religion. Self-abasement and severe treatment of the body. They all look good. They all look really holy. But it has nothing to do with your will dying. God didn't put us here so that we could punish ourselves, set ourselves apart, make us look real strict. He put us here to die so that we could live. He put us here to have His life. He put us here to serve Him. We have to die so that we could live. Jesus talked about a grain of wheat. Nice grain of wheat. It has to fall to the ground and begin to rot. That's what happens. When it falls to the ground, if you can keep it nice and clean and not do anything with it, all you have is a grain of wheat. But you put it in the soil, give it a little bit of water, and it dies. And out of that death, it shoots out a little green sprout. But until it dies, it abides alone. It has to die to grow. The key to Christianity. Everybody wants saved. Everybody wants life. An abundant life. Churches all over. Abundant life. The abundant life. The wonderful life. Jesus said, you got to die. No man can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. You cannot do it. We've tried to have the best of both worlds. That's not where life is. That's not where following Jesus is. It's laying down our lives, losing them. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's so hard for us to understand that. We all want to dictate our own lives. We got them planned. We got it all figured out. It's hard just to be nowhere. It's hard not to just have it figured out and just say, God, here I am. We start trying to make deals with God so we can work it all out for our way. Burger King, we used to call it, they used to have a have it your way. You just go in and order. We called it Burger King Christianity. Just go in and say, I want this, I want that, I don't want that, I want this, I don't want that. Just have it however you like it. You just as well have Satan being your cook. Because that's who's cooking it up. There's one way. Follow Jesus. That's an absolute. No holds, no restrictions, nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring. Whenever that song, Just As I Am, without one plea, it's a cry, Lord, here I am, take me, just like I am. Not, Lord, just I can go ahead and do whatever I want to, and still you'll just take me any old way I am. That's not what it's talking about. Just as I am is an absolute surrender. Not my will, but thine be done. My life's over. Now, you can do something with it. I'm not talking about just going out. We think now, okay, I'm going to sell everything and go be a missionary somewhere. There's a lot of people think that's what it is. It's losing your will. Surrendering your will to His will. Living within His realm. And just walking in it. Being a nobody. Being rejected. Being despised. We know what we want. We know what we want out of life. It's being able to say, Lord, I know that's what I want, but You can have it. I want everything to be wonderful. I want everybody, all my family, just to follow the Lord. That's just all I want. You know, I gave my family, whenever they were babies, I said, Lord, they're Yours. And there would have been nothing greater in my life and in my heart if they'd have grown up and just went and died in Africa or someplace or wherever you'd think about being a missionary. It's what I wanted for them. But when I said, Lord, they're Yours, He had a whole different plan for them. A whole different plan. He took them. Not what I wanted. I wanted it for Him. But I gave them to Him. It's not my choice anymore. It's not what I want out of them anymore. They're His. It's what He wants for them. When I started following the Lord, I said, Lord, it's Yours. And everything in my life's a wreck. Not what I wanted. I wanted my life to be in order and everything to be great. But I gave it to Him. This is what He wants for it. He didn't send me here to build a big church and have everything wonderful and just everything go perfect. That's what I would like. Everybody getting along, everything just great. But it's His. It's His. I've got all kinds of ideas for almost everyone here. Every kind of idea for people. Trying to help. Trying to do what I can. And God has different plans. I can't let my ideas and my plans and my religion get in the way of Him being the Lord. Get in the way of, it's not my life. It's not my life. It's His. And I'm just a servant. Following, you lose your life. You don't find it. You don't get it all figured out. You don't get it all fixed. You just do the simple thing that's right in front of you. And calamity comes. Disaster comes. The worst thing in the world that could happen to you comes. You say, not my will, but thine be done. We could do like Israel. Oh, Lord, fix it, fix it, fix it, fix it. Fix it, fix it, fix it. Patch up my life. Make it what I want it to be. Or we can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. All my plans, ambitions, dreams, and hopes at His feet. In ashes. Any man will come after me. He's got to deny himself. Take up the cross. Follow me. If anyone will be saved, they've got to lose their life. If anyone wants to live, you've got to die. Glorious. To the flesh looks miserable. looks terrible, looks... But we have a hope that life is more than this thing we're walking through right now. We have a hope that by losing our life, we will actually find a life eternal. The Bible says the eyes can't even see. We don't even know. We don't understand. Everything's in a cloud now. This is just a shadow. A test to see, do I want my life or do I want His? Whoever will find his life will lose it. But if we lose it for His sake, His message, we lose it for Him, we'll find it. Don't let my plans, don't let your plans get in your way. Don't let crazy ambitions to go appear holy get in your way. Just walk with your heart surrendered, not my will, but thine be done. Walk with your heart surrendered for your family, not my will, but thine be done. Just walk with your heart surrendered for your brothers, for the church, for not my will, but thine be done. Find rest and peace in that. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, we come before You again this morning. We just thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy. Help us be faithful to You. Lord, we just pray Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fill us with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
God, our Lord, reigns the throne. Son.